firm say, where's some place that's agnostic, that doesn't have any sort of competitive angle on all of this, where we can come together, create the consensus, and then we'll all use that. And the natural conclusion is you go to a trade body, because that's exactly what they were created for, to create those standards.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Grizz Griswold of Finos. Hope you're doing well. And this is the Open Source and Finance Podcast. We are talking about the CDM, the Common Domain Model, with folks from ISDA, ISLA, and our COO, Jane. So hit the music. Is everybody in? Good. All right. Hope you're all doing well today. Today we have an interview with folks from ISDA and ISLA. And these are two of the three associations that contributed the Common Domain Model to Finos earlier this year. ISDA is the International Swaps and Derivatives Association. And then ISLA is the International Securities Lending Association. And also ICMA, who is the International Capital Market Association, was also involved in the original part of CDM and continues to be involved as well. But today we have David Schoen of ISDA and Adrian Dale of ISLA. They sat down with our COO, Jane Gravansky of Finos, to talk about the CDM, talk about the evolution of it when it was with the three associations, then how it passed to be open sourced into Finos, and then where we're going. And also, this is, I think, a really good, if you want to call it a teaser, into OSFF, which is November 1st. And there are going to be two presentations on the CDM there as well. The first one will be a CDM collateral representation by Amy Caruso and Vernon Alden-Smith of ISDA and Tom Healy of ICMA. And then we'll also have initial margin reporting using CDM by Mark Graticos. Oh man, I'm so bad. Graticos from TradeHeader. So please make sure that you join us November 1st. And in fact, I'm going to put this in here right now. If you email me at grizz@finos.org. I will have 5 tickets available, 1 per person, please, to attend OSFF for free November 1st. If you are not already one of our members, by the way, you attend for free as part of your member benefits. But if you're not one of our members and would like to attend OSFF and you are in the New York area, you know, please email me at grizz@finos.org and let me know that you were listening to the podcast, you'd like a free ticket, and I will send you a code to register. All right. And then one last piece of this, OSFF would not be possible without our member support, but also our sponsor support from our leader sponsors, Databricks and Red Hat, from our contributor sponsors, Discover, FinOps Foundation, Major League Hacking, and Open Mainframe Project, and then all of our community sponsors as well, Adaptive, Connectify, EDB, Fujitsu, Gradle, Intercluster, Mend.io, OpenJS Foundation, OpenLogic by Perforce, Orcas, Percona, Sonotype, and Tidelift, and also our new sponsor, Stormforge, as well, and one of our new members. So please join us November 1st, and again, email me if you would like to have a free ticket to OSFF. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start off the interview with David and Adrian and Jane, and hope to see you next week in New York. Thanks.
We're going to be talking about the CDM. And in the room today, we have Adrian Dale from ISLA, David Schoen from ISDA. We also have our Finos COO, Jane Gravansky. And can everybody say hello? How are you doing?
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey,
going good.
So we've got a packed house today, and we've got a lot to go through. But we're going to be talking about the CDM, the Common Domain Module. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to hand things off to Jane, Jane's going to be our moderator today. And then when I have the questions that I have about everything, then I'm going to raise my hand. So Jane, I'm going to hand it off to you. And let's have a great little talk.
Thanks, Chris. Let's start with some basics, guys. For me personally, having spent basically all of my career in financial services, the CDM, Common Domain Model, is quite an exciting development in the industry. But perhaps for others who may be slightly newer and maybe are focusing on other things, can we start with some basic review of what is the CDM and why particularly do we think it's really important? It's a really important change within the industry. David, do you want to give us a shot?
Yeah, sure. So the Common Domain Model, I'll call it the CDM after this, is a standard definition for financial products, the trades on those products, and the lifecycle events on those transactions. It also has the capability of incorporating elements of the legal documentation associated with those products, and also standardizing workflow. So we can standardize operational processes during the course of the lifecycle. I think it's those latter three, the events, the legal elements, and the workflow that differentiate it from just being another data standard such as ISO 20022, and will really give it the value within the industry of helping to standardize not just the Bucca models, but the processes that go around them. Some free to use, aligning data and systems and processes. It's available as code in multiple languages for easy implementation across various technologies. And basically using the CDM, firms can implement requirements consistently for the same transactions that they have with each other under the same legal contract, hopefully reducing the need for reconciliation, providing the foundation for seamless or more streamlined automation, and hopefully some sort of central standard architecture for pieces of the market infrastructure. The model originated as an idea from ISDA, I think about 2016. But over the last 3 years, the other associations have joined in and extended the model to their products, which gives a kind of wider range and utility to the model. And then we migrated it to the repository to Finos. So I don't know if Adrian, you'd like to sort of say why Isler joined the party.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to add you mentioned legal contracts in there for a second. I just want to take that a little bit further because you mentioned the life cycle. So the interaction of data points is absolutely crucial for our market, especially with the big conversation going on in the US at the moment about the T+1 settlement cycle and trying to make everything that much faster. It's really important that data interacts correctly in a standardized way. And aside from the legal contract, there's things like KYC and the collateral that goes along with the transactions that we do as well. So we get all of the moving parts are all working in harmony, which is the most important thing about CDM, which is why it's such a great idea. The reason that that ISLA as a trade association are quite involved in that is because maybe very simply is that one of the primary mandates of a trade body is to look after the standards of whatever it's looking after. For us, it happens to be security lending. So as it relates to security lending, we look after the best practices, the industry standards, and of course, along with that comes the legal master agreements as well. So it's a really sort of obvious next step. If you're looking after the standards, you would want to have those implemented in code as the market moves to digitization, which is, as some firms are saying, is the inevitable next big step for our markets. I think that, I'll add another little bit, actually. So we had the paper in 2019 that spoke about the interaction and the sort of the alignment then of financial markets and of technology. So that came out in 2019. Our board said we should do something about it and we should do a proof of concept, which we did, a very successful one. And from that, the mandate flows through from the trade association members into the work that we're doing today, which is why we're at this party.
Yeah, and to me, what stands out is, as David and Adrian, you both mentioned, one of the facts is that we really have an opportunity to create integration and less work across from the front to back life cycle of financial services business models, from pre-trade to post-trade to settlements to KYC. Everything can be integrated together, because as we know, within each firm, there's a whole lot of effort that goes into translating information from one step of the business process to the next. And the fact that you can now use a common model to share this information is really important. Now, multiply that by the fact that now the institutions themselves, firms that talk to each other, can now utilize the same standard of exchanging information, as well as the same standard for exchanging information with regulatory bodies when reporting happens. So it's really groundbreaking and really changing the process in so many different ways, avoiding a lot of cost and a lot of overhead that's really not necessary at all, doesn't really add value. What's interesting is the associations having representing each of their own constituents also see a value in coming together and collaborating now. And that's probably reflected in the fact that this is really a cross-industry and cross-business process effort across multiple different instrument classes. Any color you want to add to that, that would be great. What each of your associations feels is the value of collaboration?
I mean, all I was going to add was it should not be underestimated, the internal use case. So yes, you know, the ability to speak the same language and process transactions in the same way with your counterparts is an advantage. But also, and I think I've said this before, potentially on another podcast a few years back, imagine a world in which if you are a large firm dealing with multiple asset classes and products, you can trade an equity swap, hedge it, finance it through repo, borrow to cover any shorts, all expressing all of those products and transactions in using the same composable model modules, and report into your enterprise risk system or downstream to the utilities using the same method of depicting those transactions across all of those asset classes, right? So you get some synergies internally, not just with external use cases.
So I'm going to add to that. So trade associations are product agnostic. And so we're not going to speak obviously about individual vendor firms, but one of the things that has developed over time in our industry is new products have come to market and they use slightly different sort of nuances on how they express the transactions, the life cycle events that David's been talking about. And that comes under this banner of, it's been called interoperability and been discussed for decades about this lack of interoperability in the market. So vendors have these fantastic platforms, fantastic functionality in them, but the way that they're either built or they're implemented by firms has been a friction in the way that they communicate with each other. And we found that a few years ago when we were working on a regulatory initiative, both sides of a transaction had to report. That meant that both sides had to be expressing themselves, you know, to the market, to the regulators, in the same way. And we found out that they weren't. And so the regulation helps us get to a certain point where firms are now talking the same language. But of course, the driving force for that was the regulator, which means that all they're going to ask for is the data points they're interested in and those life cycle events that they're interested in. But there's a whole market that needs to operate in there, and that's what trade bodies look at. So the common domain model is a way of leveling the playing field, everyone speaking the same language, having interoperability, and to David's point about not needing to do reconciliation, which is an enormous cost for firms as well, because there's some sort of standardized way of representing things and you can't go to step two unless you've done step one, which sounds very logical. But when you look at the detail of what firms are doing, that's still an issue in this day and age, which is quite surprising. So as we did for the regulation, the firms say, where's some place that's agnostic, that doesn't have any sort of competitive angle on all of this, where we can come together, create the consensus, and then we'll all use that. And the natural conclusion is you go to a trade body, because that's exactly what they were created for, to create those standards. So that's why we've got such a strong mandate from members to be doing what we've done, to do this sort of initial work. Obviously, the hope that we have is that the members will pick up where we are and sort of, you know, like a relay race, they'll go off with the baton and continue on with the development of it, supported by the trade bodies.
Yeah, and of course, from a Finno's perspective, what's interesting is we have a very strong constituency within our community who are hands-on technologists. So what's really great about the CDM coming to Finno's is it's really bringing the standard to practice in terms of code. So just a few words on what's happened since the project was activated at Finno's in March this year. We've established a governance model. We've established working groups that are working on different components of the model. And through the governance, we have a process whereby changes that come in to the model are accepted by the community, discussed, obviously, and then voted on, as well as then translated into code. So translated into languages where anyone who wants to, obviously it's open source, so it's open to everyone, can download those data definitions, the CDM model as expressed in code, and start using it, start playing with it, start benchmarking how it compares to their internal models, where it's most useful, as well as start using it for interaction, both internally across business processes, as you guys have mentioned, as well as externally in communication. Some of the very exciting releases that have happened in the last 6 months are really worth mentioning. So maybe David, I'll start with you, and I won't spoil the surprise. Of course, it's not a surprise, but nevertheless.
Yeah, so I have one in mind, but I think it's important to just reflect on the reasons why we thought it was sensible to migrate the repository to Finos in the first place. And really, it was around tapping into the technical expertise that you mentioned of the community. Opening up the CDM to effectively a wider pool of developers who are experts in their fields, right, or who are interested in improving things for the good of the industry. We recognize that as trade associations, we were not software delivery companies. We're not, we have resource limited by our sizes. It made sense to get it was the right time to throw the CDM open to the people, as you say, who can look at implementing this, right? So we should get contributions from the community that actually extend the model faster and help converge onto consensus for the industry as things change and effectively end up with a better quality product overall. And I think we've definitely seen the community come and start working together and providing advice on things around an implementation perspective. And one of the items that's come out in recent months. So at the beginning of August, it was announced, and I believe it's on your website as a blog, that we saw a contribution that was really a combined effort from members of the community, including TradeHeader, FT Advisory LLC, and CloudRisk, essentially making the CDM available in Python programming language for the first time. I think that's exciting, not just because it's an example of the power of the open source community working together, but it extends the model to one of the most popular programming languages out there. So hopefully that should increase accessibility and ease the route to application and implementation of the model, which was the whole purpose of the migration.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And one of the other earlier developments that's happened is the repo model was contributed to the CDM in the early months since we started the project. So that's very exciting. And now that we've talked about what has happened, let's talk about what will happen. What do we have to look forward to in the future? Obviously, for us at Finno's, we're really excited to host some project examples, some implementations at our upcoming open source in financial services conference in New York on November 1st. So please, to all the listeners, if you haven't done so already, please register. Many of you are member firms, and therefore you get to attend for free. Anyone and everyone is welcome to come and look at the examples of how CDM is already being utilized outside of OSFF. Let's talk about what's coming. What's the focus in the future? Who would like to go first?
Shall I go first this time? We've got a few things in the pipeline anyway, and some of these are slightly technical points, perhaps. One piece of very recent work that I think is almost completed now, which is about the pre-trade negotiation. It sounds a bit technical, perhaps, but it's basically that bit. If you started to negotiate with someone for anything, I'd like to have something, how much do you want to pay for it? And that, so that initial conversation before it actually becomes a book trade, which I think is a really interesting area anyway, once the stats come out on that, I suppose in years to come. But sort of further ahead into the future, it's more of these sort of the nuances of how our market work. So there's a thing we call a lender availability, which is basically one side of the transaction putting their wares out on a stall and saying, this is what I've got. Does anyone want to purchase these things, to put it in layman terms? Or the other way around, we call them borrower locates, where one party will say, have you got any of X? So we're trying to build up the life cycle of how do those things actually happen before they get to a data point that would be recognized perhaps by a regulator. And of course, absolutely key to all of this, and harking back to the stuff that David mentioned earlier on, there's more work to do on legal agreements. It's something that's evolving. We have, I think, all the associations, we all have standardized our legal agreements, and we're encoding that. But that's just the first step, because we're only doing it to the main body of the legal agreements, and there are loads of other moving parts in terms of legal documentation that we still need to have a look at. So we need to deliver that legal agreement into the CDM. That's an absolutely key piece of work. And then going further forward, we'll start to look at other clauses, appendix and addendums that go along with the legal agreement to make sure the whole thing works as well. That's sort of a short term. I think that then there's more work to be done, like I said, about life cycle events. And you've got to keep in mind as well, because it's open source and this idea of members becoming engaged and building things, there's probably a roadmap out there of what member firms would like to have done, or even non-member firms, so anyone can contribute. And so we're looking forward to seeing the suggestions, proposals that come through from the Finos working groups.
And David, what about the ISDA perspective?
Yeah, so actually, first of all, let me say some of those things that Adrian mentioned from an ISDA perspective will have uses beyond securities lending, right? So the availability file is the start of more generic position files for various use cases. The workflow, the negotiation workflow, is both suitable for, it's essentially suitable for any trade object within the model to be passed between counterparts. But also, I see it as almost the start of a meta model for all negotiation type workflows. So that's all very exciting. And Adrian will know that the legal piece is also close to my heart from the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the ISDA side, the focus very much over probably the last 2 years has really been on the reg reporting. So the DRR project that was started here, people may be aware that the CFTC go live at the end of last year, went ahead with one adoptee who's publicly announced. The working group has continued within the ISDA governance structure, focusing on EMEA refit in April for ESMA, and then the UK version. ASIC and MAS will follow. And as a result of that work, actually there are contributions to the core CDM model that are in process. We actually discussed it today at the contribution review working group around ETD and commodity derivative representation within the model. So that continues to effectively feed back into the core. But DRR remains is the sort of flagship use case for at least a couple of years, I think. And I just want to flag, it's not just the TAs doing that, it's the membership in the industry who are actually digitizing. So it's truly an industry contribution. The second major strand of initiatives that have been happening here are on the collateral side. So the collateral working group is part of the FinOS governance structure run by Vernon Alden Smith. And just as a bit of background, the ISDA CSAs have already been digitized and put into the CDM in large part, certainly the more modern ones. That was done in conjunction with some work around ISDA Create some time back. I believe Vernon has just kicked off a legal agreement working group to look at some of the older CSAs to continue that document digitization journey. He has also, as a result of a recent hackathon, shown or demonstrated the use of an object builder tool, which allows firms to actually create and set eligibility schedules. So eligibility schedules have been modeled into the CDM. This is just a tool that allows effectively users or systems to interact with that model. And Vernon and Amy Caruso will be presenting that at the OSF. If you're interested to come along and see that, please do. I will also be there. I'll be delighted to be in New York for the second year for that event. So please come and have a chat with us. I noted that Mark Gratikos, trade header, will also be presenting some margin work around CDM. So just to sort of show that the collateral agenda is going strong. And I think it will, given the importance of collateral and risk in the modern world, that will continue. There are a number of firms who are using that eligibility model to start putting things into production or getting things close to production, which I'm sure can be discussed at the collateral working group if required. I don't actually have the list with me, which is my fault. I should have brought it to the podcast. I intended to, but it's you know, the likes of Clearstream and Vermeg and so on, who've said that they will use the CDM in some of their products. For a clearer viewpoint, please do reach out to Vernon through the collateral working group, and he will be able to give that clearer, firmer list of the projects that are ongoing if anybody wants to get involved in those.
Gave us an idea for a follow-up podcast.
Yes, yeah, I'll tell him after this. There was only one last thing I wanted to mention, and that is following on from what we were saying about the feedback from the community around some of the technical things we might want to do with regards to implementation. So I think we are also going to be spending a bit of time and resource on helping to bring some of those technical discussions around things like serialization and versioning and best practice in that area to effectively improve the engagement experience as better than it is now even, and just really try and help people get from awareness of the CDM to actual implementation. We have all of the bits, we just need to put them in one place. So I think we're going to spend some time on that as well.
Yeah, and it's a great way for people not to just be observers or bystanders, but really bring their expertise to bear. I think that's one of the habits we're trying to change and bring forth greater participation. So be part of the journey, be one of the change agents. That's really the call to action to many of our listeners.
I'm hoping
many of you will take us up on it. The meetings are open and we're really eager for people to come to the meetings and register their feedback on GitHub, and it will be listened to. All right, so just to conclude this conversation, and hopefully we'll get some feedback on the podcast and you guys will register some questions and we'll take it up at the next session. How should our listeners engaged? What's the best way to engage? Obviously, from a Finos perspective, as I've mentioned, please check out the meeting schedule and definitely come to OSFF and see this in action. Register and come to OSFF in New York. What else? What would you guys recommend?
Go on, Adrian.
Okay, then I'll have a go. So, I mean, there's loads of different ways that firms can engage. I mean, obviously, you can go straight to the Finos site and you're going to get there. You can go onto three different associations' websites and you can get to it there. There are working groups within Finos, which obviously is the leading edge of what's being developed. But then the trade associations also have their own working groups on CDM and different aspects of it as well. And those groups then propose into the Finos group. So there's so many places that, to go to become engaged. It's almost difficult not to be. And of course, all the associations are talking about it to their members in all of our events, because it's such a key thing. And we're also, as David mentioned, regulators earlier on, we're talking to regulators as well, who we're hoping are going to ask firms why they're not engaged if they aren't. So there's loads of different places to get engaged. The perhaps the starting point for firms, those they need to have a look at, being that we know that there are going to be lots of developments coming up, but there certainly are in the US at the moment because of the change in the settlement cycle, and the same conversations are happening in Europe and the UK as well. And so firms ought to be looking at their operating model and seeing where the pain points are in that, what's costing them at the moment to operate their business. Where are the pain points? Where are the bottlenecks? And you identify those, and when you're looking to fix them, you should be thinking of adding to the arsenal of tools that you can use to fix them. How does CDM help in that respect? And that was the internal point that David was making, but it's also the external one as well. We see plenty of examples of that. And so this is one of the beauties of CDM. You don't have to implement it across the entire infrastructure. You can use it in a specific use case that brings you to a working group to talk about the use case that you want to fix, and then you'll find that that probably resonates with other people in that group. As associations, trade associations, we probably have heard of that issue anyway being discussed in some historical working group, and so you'll find a lot of friendly faces and compassion from other people who have helped firms to fix that issue. And propose that CDM is the way to do it, to make it future proof as well, to make it so it has the stamp of approval from the rest of the market as being the standard that you should be adopting. And also it aids, when you get to a certain point, in the ability to plug and play, because other firms will be adopting CDM as well. So I think there's it's almost difficult not to get engaged. It's one way of answering it.
I mean, I always struggle to follow Adrian. He always says everything so eloquently. All I will say is, I will reiterate, cdm.finos.org should be the starting point. If you want overviews and so on, we'll take you to the GitHub. There are links on there to specific working groups. We'll give you an overview of the governance. Clearly, there will always be the human touch. So if you cannot find my contact details through there, then LinkedIn is always a good way to reach me. And listen, everyone in the community will be more than prepared to, if your use case is something that's not specific to, or we can't specifically comment on directly, we will find the right person for you and do the introduction, right?
Thanks, guys. Yet another plug from Finos. If you are one of the listeners who is interested in regulatory compliance, we have at Finos a open RegTech special interest group, which has been very much hard at work in talking with the community and gathering ideas around how we can all collaborate on open components, open source, open standard components that can help everyone be more compliant with regulatory requirements, lower the cost of regulatory compliance, and also engage the regulators in creative, innovative solutions such that there is greater transparency within the market, and data is more readily and more quickly and obviously also at a lower cost available for access. So within the Reg Innovation SIG, we're starting a RegTech Council. And one of the projects which we believe is very much aiding in this effort is the CDM, is having a common data representation. So as part of the RegTech Council, we have floated some ideas about which regulation and which components are most of highest priority. And we would love for you to engage with us in that discussion and to start planning for 2024 to start engaging within that project and contributing your thoughts, your ideas, and your resources to this. So check us out at the Open RegTech SIG on the Finos website and give us your opinion. And please plan to engage with us in the future. Thank you.
One last thing before we get started with anything else in a next meeting would be that please join us at the Open Source and Finance Forum in New York on November 1st. We will have two talks around the CDM, CDM Collateral Representation with Amy Caruso and Vernon Alden Smith from ISDA, and also Initial Margin Reporting Using CDM from Mark, I mess up somebody's name every single podcast, Radikos from Trade Header. Plus, we will have project expos around the CDM as well. So, and with that, I'm going to say good day, good night, wherever you are.